Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to the Wonderland on Points podcast. Today we have something very exciting to share with you. We are going to be doing our first ever weekend getaway giveaway.
Woo! And guys, when we say weekend, we don't mean two nights. We actually are giving away three nights at this incredible Airbnb that we have partnered with. Mary Ellen, tell us about the Airbnb.
It is a 5-bedroom. It can fit 10 people, 4,000 square foot cabin. It's hard to say. I mean, I don't even know that we can call it a cabin. It's 4,000 square feet.
It's so big.
It is tucked into Sapphire, North Carolina, which is just the most gorgeous place. I want you to envision this summer, you are swimming in waterfalls, you're hiking the mountains, or this fall, you're watching the leaves change color skies. This is amazing. You can choose when you want to go. If you win this 3-night giveaway, grab your friends for like a girlfriend's retreat weekend or take your family. This place has a huge yard with a playground, with a fire pit. It is on a lake. You can canoe and kayak. You are going to love this place.
It is absolutely stunning. And on top of getting to experience everything that the property itself has to offer, this Sapphire Valley Hideaway home offers their guests access for $3 per day per guest to the Sapphire Valley Ski Resort and Rec Center. Okay, $3? Like, what is this? The resort is 10 minutes from the home, and it offers tennis, pickleball, indoor-outdoor pools, a game room, putt-putt golf, and a fitness center. You also have access to the boat dock where you can rent canoes and, as Mary Ellen said, the kayaks, the paddle boards. And apparently nearby there is also zip lining, whitewater rafting, horseback riding. I mean, I'm actually a little jealous that we are giving this away instead of getting to experience it ourselves.
I mean, we probably should have just gone ourselves, but we love our listeners too much.
We love you guys so, so much. We're so excited to give you this opportunity.
Lots of details forthcoming. Keep an eye on our Instagram accounts for how you can enter this giveaway. And we are just thrilled to give this Sapphire Valley Hideaway home away for 3 nights. Looking forward to it. Can't wait for you guys to see it. So keep an eye out for that.
Yes. And we will link in our notes for the show today. We'll drop the Airbnb link so you can go in and poke around for yourself and get really excited for this giveaway. And as Mary Ellen said, everything will be on our Instagrams in the upcoming weeks. So stay glued to those. You don't want to miss this. It would be very disappointing because somebody is going to really be quite, quite lucky. And we are really excited about it.
So we've talked about our giveaway. Now let's get pumped for today's interview. We have a guest on the show today who has been putting out the coolest content about Japan. Have you ever wanted to go to Japan, Joe?
Oh, yeah. In fact, once I found out that Disney in Tokyo is like a gazillion times cheaper than Disney in Orlando, I immediately started planning how to get there on points and realized like I could spend the same out of pocket to travel there, buy my tickets, stay in a hotel, everything, the taxes, fees, everything for the whole trip added up to less than one park ticket for one person for one day for Disney Orlando.
Disney World in Orlando is crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Love it. Totally get wanting to have the experience. Disney lovers love it. But Disneyland in Tokyo or Paris or any of the other Disney locations around the world just seems so cool.
It really does. And I mean, it's just such an incredible culture. I've always loved Japan. It's been on my bucket list for a long time. And now my daughter really loves it because there's a lot of shows that she likes that are set in Japan. So I just feel like we really have to do it. Have you seen Shogun?
Is she into anime? Is she all into the anime?
She, last year especially, was so, so much into anime. She's not actually into it as much now. I think she watches a lot of subtitled shows. And I have to be honest, I don't actually know what they all are.
A girl after my own heart.
Yes, she is.
A girl after my own heart.
You guys are twins. Yes. But I started Shogun on Disney, Disney Plus, and that is set in Japan. And it is great. It's like Japanese.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Japanese Game of Thrones.
Oh, like,
I mean, it's not really, but it just has the vibe and it is really okay. Cool. It's like set in like 1600s Japan. Anyways, it's a great show. So far, I'm very into it if anybody is interested. But yeah, my Japan juices are flowing and I really want to do this. So I am so excited to talk to Raimi today about this because her content from Japan, actually just all of her content in general is amazing. So we're super excited to talk to her.
So let's go ahead and get to it. There's so much I want to talk to Raimi about. I've been looking into planning a trip to South Korea and Japan, maybe next year. So I've got tons of questions for her. You guys, buckle up because we are going abroad today. We are going flying all the way over to Japan, and we're just going to hear all about the amazing things you can do there on points and miles and the adventures that you could see. Right now, it's cherry blossom season.
Seriously,
love
so amazing.
Love cherry blossoms. Love the beautiful trees. This is going to be fun. So here we go.
All right, let's get started.
We are so honored to have Raimi with us today from at Raimi Travel. She has been all over the world in multiple capacities, both for work and for fun. And she is going to tell us all about her adventures today. And specifically, we're going to kind of key in on travel to Japan, which I'm super excited to learn about. So welcome, Raimi. We're so glad you're here.
Guys. I'm so excited you guys reached out. I love doing podcasts and talking about Japan and travel and points. So this is going to be fun.
Yay. It's the best of all the things. I have to tell you before we dive too far in that I was really excited that we were having you on, and I was chatting with my middle schooler about it, and I was like, she's so fun. Look at some of her content. And I turned my phone around and she's like, yeah, I watch her all the time, Mom. So my sixth grader,
please.
She knew who you were.
Wow. Okay.
With the kids, with the youth. Okay.
Not even Gen Z. What? Alpha? Gen Alpha?
Gen Alpha. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You've made it. Yeah.
Okay. That is cool. I'm honored.
Yes. I was like, whoa. Like, I just thought your content was like really fun, really amazing. And I love to watch it all the time. Definitely did not expect that from her. So just wanted to let you know that before we get too far down the rabbit hole.
I love it.
Well, Raimi, why don't you tell us, like, how did you get into, have you always loved traveling your whole life? Like, what got you into wanting to travel full time? I know for a while you were a full-time traveler. Now you have kind of a day job, but travel is still something you're passionate about. So how did this all come about for you?
Yeah. Okay. So I went on a very transformative, you know, the trip where the travel bug bites you. When I was 14, my mom took me on a cruise to Belize and Honduras. And honestly, at that age, I had never heard of those countries. I don't even think I thought about other countries at that age. But I remember the moment, and it honestly, it gives me goosebumps when I talk about it. I remember stepping off the cruise and looking around in Belize and being like, whoa. There's a whole world outside of me. And I know that sounds stupid now, but as a young kid, it was just that eye-opening moment. And from that point on, I literally from that point, I knew I need to find a way to do this all the time. I need to find a way to see everywhere because this is so interesting. And I just felt like I learned a lot on that trip and I wanted to keep doing that. And ever since then, I've just found all of the different ways to travel. I studied abroad. I have worked abroad. I got a job in a marketing firm in another country for a little bit. And then I got into remote work where I had a US job, but I was traveling the world at the same time. And then I got into points and miles because that opened up more doors for me.
Yes.
So I feel like I've done all of these things to be able to travel more. And that's kind of, that's my story.
That is so exciting. Cool. I had my first transformative travel experience at 14 as well. I went to Germany on a church mission trip. Whoa. And this little town in Germany, it was called Magdeburg, and it was just so different than anything I'd ever seen. So old, so much history. And I was like, oh my gosh. I think it started my fascination with architecture and like crazy old buildings. And I had to travel from that point on, but I didn't find points and miles until I was in my 30s. So there was like a big stretch of time there where I was not able to pursue. I mean, I just said I have a middle schooler, so I had her when I was 20. So there's been a long period of my life that was completely like not unlocking the world of travel at all. So points and miles is such a transformative thing, which is why we're so passionate about sharing it with people here. Yeah. So,
I feel like a lot of people don't realize, or they think, oh, this isn't for me. I couldn't do that, or it's too complicated. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that still don't do it who are in their 30s and in their 40s. And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, trust me.
I literally made a reel recently and it was POV when your friends think you're in a pyramid scheme. Because every time I try to talk to my friends about travel hacking, they're like, oh, I don't know. It's like they think I'm trying to sell them something. Guys, yeah, I'm not.
I just want you to see more with less.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want you to be stuck taking one vacation a year. It's crazy. Yeah. I want to know where your first experience with travel hacking started. When did you first find like a points and miles account or a blog, or like where did that start for you?
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't mention, but when my first remote job ever was with Nomadic Matt. He's a very big travel blogger.
Yes.
And I worked for him for 4 years, and working for him and his blog, that was my introduction to points and miles. I had never thought about it before. I had started building credit in high school because my mom wanted me to do that. Bless her. Mm. Thank you.
Yes.
I never knew you could get points with your card until Matt's blog. And I remember my very first redemption, actually. He told me to get a specific travel card. I can't remember the card, but I remember I used 60,000 points to fly my first ever business class flight from Detroit to Amsterdam. And it was probably 2016. And that was another aha moment. Like, I can pay $5 and fly in business class, and I'm 22 years old. This is so cool. So
that is amazing. What did you do for his blog? You wrote?
I wrote for his blog, and I mostly managed his content calendars, social media, Pinterest. That was kind of my introduction to the travel industry and where all of my content marketing experience comes in. And my full-time job now is also in content and marketing. So,
okay. So, yeah. We're totally derailing here, but what did you go to college for that's what you ended up doing?
I went to college for advertising and marketing at Michigan State. Go Green. And that's, I guess, how I got into it, although I didn't learn anything in college. I don't feel
right. Who does? Literally nobody does. So you just dove into this and you clearly have a knack for it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do something creative, so it works. And I'm very analytical, which is why I love points and miles, too. So it's like a marriage of the two things.
It's perfect.
Well, let's talk about Japan, because you have been posting, if anyone goes, and I hope that they will, to your Instagram feed or TikTok, you're going to see all these cool videos of Japan. And one that hooked me, that kind of caught my eye, and I shared it on my Instagram at one point, was a ski trip that you went on recently in Japan. And you talked all about how flying all the way to Japan, getting lift tickets, hotel, everything, renting gear, it was cheaper than going skiing in like Utah or Colorado for a week. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I live in California now. I'm from Michigan. I grew up going skiing and snowboarding out west in Colorado. I would go to Breckenridge and Aspen and Vail and all those places. And I wanted to maybe do that as I was living in California, but I looked up the prices this past year and I was like, we can't go. It's $300 for one day of skiing, plus the flight, plus the lodging. Like, we couldn't make that work. So I was looking around on the internet, you know, like cheap places to ski. And I found some random video about Japan, and I didn't really believe that that could be cheaper, especially with flights and stuff. But you know, because I used points and miles and everything, I was like, let's see if we can make this happen. So all of the research, everything said and done, I figured out that we would save a couple $1,000s, especially going as a group, because we were splitting accommodation and all of this stuff. But even individually, I did all of the math, and you can do it cheaper there just because the lift tickets and the gear rentals, all of that stuff is a fraction of the price. And with the US dollar and the yen right now, it's just a really good time to do that.
That's amazing. So cool. And I feel like something similar is Disney in Japan or Universal in Japan. I just posted an itinerary in my stories recently. And I was like, guys, I was thinking of going to Orlando, but it's literally cheaper to go to Disney in Japan.
Yes. Yes. I went to the Warner Brothers Harry Potter studio in Japan, and I've also been to the one in England, and the one in Japan also more affordable. And that could be right now with the USD and the yen, but it's just such a good time to travel to Japan. Like, this podcast is very timely because anyone who wants to go, now is the time to go. It has never been more affordable for United States people to go to Japan.
I have been Googling. I've been searching. Like, I have a time frame that I'm hoping my family can go. Are there any flight sweet spots that you know of, or cheap specific routes that tend to be cheaper from the US to Japan when using points?
Yes. So one of the best ones that I was seeing on my trip, and where are you guys based?
I'm in St. Louis and she's on the East Coast. So we're not in the same place.
No, but this one might be good for you guys, because one of the best spots I was finding was out of Chicago with JAL using American points. You can fly business class for as low as 60,000 points and economy for somewhere between like 30 and 40,000. From Chicago. So you guys could probably easily do that as a positioning flight. That's a really great option. And I was even considering doing that, but I didn't want to fly from California to Chicago to back. So I ended up finding a deal, which I posted about, with ANA, where if I transferred my points from my credit card to Virgin and booked ANA with my Virgin points, it was 45,000 points in business class, which is the lowest business class redemption I've ever gotten.
I posted that in my stories because when I saw that, I was like, I did not even realize you could do this. Yeah. That was like a major hack, because were they Chase points that you transferred to Virgin?
It was a combination of Chase and Amex points.
That's what's so crazy, is that typically you're not supposed to be able to book ANA flights with Chase points. But if you know your alliances, you can get really tricky. And that is so cool. I love that.
Virgin seems to be maybe one of the ways to go, because when I was searching for my family as well, Virgin had a great deal, a direct flight. Now, this is not Japan, but kind of from IAD, which is Dulles in Washington, direct to Seoul, South Korea, and then you could explore South Korea. And then it was like 7,000 points to hop over to Japan, to Tokyo from South Korea. So I was kind of looking into that because I was like, man, and Virgin definitely was the cheapest out of all the airlines that I searched. And it was on Korean Air. It was, you know, of course, with their partner. It wasn't a Virgin Atlantic flight, but they do seem to have a lot of good deals if you're going over to Japan or South Korea, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they do. I love airline transfer partners. I actually just kind of realized all of the little tricks you can do with those in the past year. Like, I didn't really think about that. And I don't think a lot of people doing points and miles, you know, they think, oh, let me book it through the credit card portal, which please don't do that.
No.
Or they just think, okay, this goes to this one first one, but there's little ways to get around that.
Joanne, I can't help myself. I like want to burst into song. When you said I just figured that out, in my mind, I went, a whole new world. Yes. It's like started singing in my head.
Well, it's, you know that that's something that I would definitely do. So that is why we love each other. But it's true. I mean, not only is understanding like the currency of a place and when to travel a whole new world for me, but also understanding these alliances and how intricately you can actually utilize them. When you think that you can't transfer from the card that you currently have, you might be wrong.
Exactly, so, there might be a way.
Where did you learn for that stuff? Is there somewhere specific?
Honestly, Nomadic Matt. Him, I don't work for him anymore, but he is one of my best friends, and he is like a pro. Him and the points guy were like the blogs that I would read all about this for.
So, Raimi, you got us to Japan. What kind of, talk to me a little bit about, and I saw you post about this, about how do we get around Japan? So once we're in Japan, maybe we flew to Tokyo. Are there certain train passes that are really affordable? Like what's the tip there?
Yes. So one thing I'll say too, this is kind of a niche tip, but if you can, I would recommend flying into Haneda instead of Narita, just because it's way closer to the city. If you fly into Narita, you're going to then have to get on like an hour and a half train to get into Tokyo. So if you can, if the points are pointing and they get you to Haneda, I would choose that option. And then getting around the country. So Japan used to have this program for foreigners visiting the country where they could get the Japan Rail Pass for a pretty affordable price. It used to be like $350 for 14 days of unlimited train travel all around the country. They recently increased that price, and I think now it's closer to $500 or $600 for 14 days, which could still be worth it depending on how many train trips you're planning to take. So I always recommend to people, you know, like map out your route and calculate how many train trips are you going to be taking. And you can look up, you know, like price of Kyoto to Osaka, price of Kyoto to Tokyo, and map that out. It sounds like a little bit of work, but it's not that bad. And calculate and see if the rail pass would be worth it for you, because it is so great, so convenient. Like, you can just hop on the trains whenever, unlimited train travel, and the Japan Rail Pass will help you get around on like the city metros in Tokyo on certain train lines. So that's great as well. I do also recommend, when you're in the main cities, Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka, you'll want to get a separate like metro card just for the rail, which is different than like the bullet train travel.
Okay. Talk to us about the bullet trains, because I know Mary Ellen has a child who has always been a train lover. And I have seen videos of the bullet trains. They look incredible and maybe a little scary. I don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of scared the first time we went on one, because they go so fast. It kind of feels like you're taking off on a plane, but like the whole time. So,
whoa.
And it's interesting the way that they turn, they have to kind of go on an angle because they're going so fast. So you'll like feel the whole train tilt. It's really cool though. And I will say, like, Japan has their train stations down more than any other country I've ever been to. They're so clean. They have everything you need. You can get great food in like these little stalls in the train stations.
Wow.
It's just the best. You guys,
I'm not sure we even need to do any other activities in Japan. Like, my son is like, the bullet train is the reason we're going. We laugh when we go to New York City all the time because people are like, oh, maybe I don't want to ride the subway. And I'm like, no, the subway is the attraction. Like, that is what we That's do
so
there.
Funny. Oh, he will love the trains in Japan. They're so, so great.
Oh, good.
Are the train rides beautiful? Are there like rural parts of Japan that you've explored where you're taking these like super scenic train rides?
I highly recommend going from Tokyo to Nikko. There's a bullet train that will get you there in about an hour. And it's more eastern Japan. It's really lush, so beautiful. If you go in the fall, the leaves will be just stunning. In the summer, it's also gorgeous. It's so green, mountainous. There's Nikko National Park, which is amazing. I would highly recommend that. And there's just so much. I've been to Japan twice now, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface, of course. There's so many more things I want to do and see there, but that would be my one recommendation. And then also going down to the Fuji Lakes area near Mount Fuji.
Mount Fuji
from the train. It's really cool.
Oh, it sounds amazing. I want to go tomorrow. It's like a running joke on this podcast that I now have to say, maybe that's where I want to go for my honeymoon, because we never have a guest on who tells us about a place where I don't say, okay, that's where we're going, because I can't decide.
I know. So. But I'm telling you guys, now is the time to go, because the US dollar is really strong compared to the yen right now.
Okay, maybe I just need to take – we're going to Universal Studios in Orlando in June, and I'm like, maybe we just scrap the whole thing and go to Japan instead.
Go to Universal in Osaka. They do have
I mean, I bought non-refundable tickets, so too late. Too late, but my daughter wants to go really bad, so I think we're going to have to. Okay, let's switch back to the city and tell us about your favorite hotels that you've stayed at, and especially if you've gotten some really great point redemptions.
Yes, so I have two that I've stayed at in Japan that were great. One was the Hilton in Shinjuku, and I believe I got that deal for around 20,000 points per night.
Wow.
It was a super nice hotel too. Breakfast was included, you know, all the perks, because I have whatever level of Hilton status with one of my cards. So that was a great option, also in a really central location. And then the one I stayed at the last trip was the Grand Hyatt, which was 25,000 points per night. Beautiful hotel. Actually, what's this famous soccer player was there the same day? Messi, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I know, because we have a new St. Louis City soccer team and everybody's talking about Messi all the time.
Okay, well, he was staying at the Grand
Hyatt.
That
is wild.
And I was like, what? How did I get this room for 25,000 points? But that's crazy. That one's also in a great location in the Ginza area. So both
in Tokyo.
Yes.
In Grand Hyatt Tokyo. Okay.
I'm kind of baffled. I've never heard of a Hilton for 20,000 points ever.
Yeah, I will say I went to Japan the first time literally the week after the country opened up to tourists again. So I do think that was like a special deal going on, because I even booked it before the country was officially open, because I was like, I know that they're going to open, so I'm just going to book it. And I got lucky.
That was smart.
Yeah. It was smart. And that's a very exciting deal to get, because, I mean, a lot of travel hackers don't talk about Hills.
Yeah. If it cancels, I could just – or if it doesn't open up, I'll just cancel it and get the points back, you know?
That's the beauty of points and miles.
Exactly.
Are there any specific areas of Tokyo that you really enjoyed exploring more than others?
Yes, I would say so. Tokyo is so big, and people, you know, get to Japan and they're like, I don't like cities, so I'm just gonna stay one night in Tokyo and then go explore the rest. I would strongly advise against that, because Tokyo is so big and there's so many cool things to see. There's nature within the city that's incredible. My favorite areas to stay would probably be Shibuya, Shinjuku, or Ginza. Those are really central and will get you around quite easily. And I really would recommend going to the Meiji Shrine in Harajuku. That's very specific, but I absolutely loved that area. There's great shopping around, and then there's this giant park with all of these ancient shrines. So it's just
wow.
Juxtaposition between what Tokyo is now and what it was. And I think everyone should go there when they go to Tokyo.
That sounds so cool.
I am so impressed by your pronunciations. Like, oh. You sound good, girl. I couldn't even touch the names of those places.
Oh, I don't know if I'm actually saying them correctly. I'm trying, though, because people yell at me on TikTok all the time. I'm pretty sure those are right.
Give us some of your other activities, maybe, that you did. Are there any tours or that kind of thing?
We cannot wait for you to hear the rest of today's episode. But before we dive back in, we want to invite you to connect with us on Instagram. If you're enjoying the insights and travel tips we share here on the podcast, here's how you can stay even more connected with us.
First of all, follow us on our personal Instagram accounts for a glimpse into our daily lives and additional travel adventures. You can find Mary Ellen over at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4, and you can find me, Joe, at Points to Wonderland. Give us a follow and reach out to say hello and let us know if you found us from the podcast.
And of course, for all things podcast related, head over to our dedicated Instagram page at Wonderland on Points Podcast to stay updated on upcoming episodes, behind the scenes moments, and maybe even some exclusive content. Plus, if you're a visual learner, check out our YouTube channel with the same name. We plan on launching full video episodes in the near future, and we would love for you all to join us over there.
Your support on these platforms means the absolute world to us, and it's a fantastic way to be part of the growing Wonderland on Points community. So grab your phone, hit that follow button, and let's learn how to travel on points together. And now, back to the show.
I highly, highly recommend taking some sort of food tour. I mean, a huge selling point on Japan is the food is amazing. And I love taking food tours and walking tours wherever I go. I think the food tour is the best, you know, combination of the two, because you're going to learn about your surroundings from the local guide and get to try all these foods that you may not have otherwise chosen to try.
Yes.
My favorite tours that I did were with Airbnb Experiences. They had a couple great ones around not just Tokyo, but I did one in Kyoto and Osaka as well. And then Arigato Travel is one of Japan's like largest food tour groups. And I did a couple tours with them and all of them were fantastic. I had such good food. I couldn't tell you what I ate maybe half the time, but it was really cool. And I got to see different parts of the city too that maybe I wouldn't have known to go to because they were more local. So
yes.
Food tour, a definite must. And I'm trying to think of what else too, because I did see a lot of family travelers in Japan. I think because it is so safe there. Like, I've never felt more safe walking around a country. Honestly, I don't think anywhere. I feel like I could be out at 2 a.m. in Japan, looking down at my phone, walking around. No one is paying attention to me. Nothing's going to happen to me. It's just so safe there.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
And I think that's why I would notice a lot of family travelers there. I mean, there's so many national parks and shrines and, you know, all of the ancient history things to see. What are some of your guys' favorite things to do on trips? Because that could
jog my gosh.
Me. My family is definitely national parks people. So yep. It sounds like there'd be a lot of beautiful things to see. We love hiking and mountain adventures and that kind of thing. Cool. So I think that we love New York City. My son's favorite place is New York City. So some of the big lights, bright lights of Tokyo would be really fun, but it's true. I do think we would want to get out of that and go do some exploring in the countryside.
Yeah. And yes. I think, this made me think. So, and I think that's why Japan is so cool, because it has like the most amazing nature and the most amazing cities. So that made me think one of my favorite things that I did was I took the bullet train down when I was in Kyoto. I took the bullet train down to Hiroshima. And first of all, like seeing the Peace Memorial there was amazing. But if you take a little 40-minute ferry ride over to Miyajima Island, it's right off the coast of Japan and Hiroshima. It's a beautiful little island where there's deer running around and there's so much nature, a beautiful hike you can take to overlook the city and the entire island, Miyajima Island. It is probably my favorite place in Japan, and I really want to go back because I went there and it was pouring rain and I still loved it. So
oh,
I can't
gosh.
Imagine. All of my friends who went a couple days before me went on these incredible hikes, and I was so jealous because I couldn't do that, but it was fantastic. So you would love that.
That reminds me. So, or it made me think, can you like base yourself in Tokyo with it, with them having the bullet trains and the transportation that's so quick and easy? Could you do day trips and kind of, instead of having to hotel hop all around, could you base there, bullet train out and bullet train back in the same day to some different places?
So like Nikko National Park that I was talking about, that would be a perfect day trip from Tokyo. There's also where I went skiing. It's actually also fantastic other times of the year. It's in Hakuba. There's beautiful mountains all around that you can go hiking, and that's about an hour and a half to 2 hours outside of Tokyo. So that's a potential day trip option. I would say if you're going to go down to Kyoto and Osaka, that's about 3 hours by bullet train. So then I would maybe base yourself in those places. And then there's a ton to do around that region as well. So I would probably do like 5 days based in Tokyo, take a bunch of day trips, and then go down to Kyoto, take a day trip to Osaka one day, take a day trip to the bamboo forest, take a day trip to Miyajima Island, because you could do that from there. That's how I would do it if you don't want to move around as much.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Which seasons did you visit Japan in, and what do you think is the best time of year to go?
Yes. So the first trip I took to Japan was during cherry blossom season last year. So it was magical. Yeah, it was so great. I highly recommend that. That said, it's also going to be the most touristic time and probably the most expensive. I got super lucky because the country had just opened when I booked everything. But, you know, it's a fantastic time to visit. I mean, spring in Japan, the cherry blossoms. It's usually the last week of March to the first week of April. So that's a great option. And then I just went in February, so winter, which honestly, it was not that cold at all. It was maybe in the high 40s, mid 50s. We even had one day where it was 60 and sunny. And the reason I honestly might prefer that, just because it rained a lot less. It's more in the dry season for Japan. Spring was a little bit rainy. We had some great weather, but other days where it was rainy, and that's just Japan, you know, you can't really avoid it. But in the winter months and the fall and winter months, it's the driest season. So you have a higher chance to see Mount Fuji, number one, because it's only visible about 100 days of the year.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like you may not see it. My first trip to Japan, I didn't see it because it was so cloudy. And I really wanted to go back and see it. So the fall and winter can be a great option if you do want drier weather and you don't mind, you know, a little bit cooler months. I would say the only time I wouldn't go is probably summer because it gets really hot and it's really rainy and hot. So, you know, maybe if that's the only time you can go. I've had friends that go during the summer and it's fine, but I can't deal with too hot weather.
Yes, I am like that too. It makes me cranky.
Yeah, Michigan girl in you.
Crazy.
Yes. Yes, I know all about that. So, okay, I want to ask one last thing about Japan before we kind of segue into like travel tips. And that is, do you feel like it's easy for English speakers to get around there? How is it navigating without speaking any Japanese?
Well, I actually am fluent. No, I'm just kidding.
I would have been very impressed.
I wish. So I thought it was easy. Honestly, I mean, I've traveled in a bunch of countries where English is not widely spoken. And so for me, I felt like this was actually an easier country than, let's say, I don't know, like Hungary. I went to a rural place in Hungary and I felt like that was more difficult because it wasn't set up for English speakers, whereas I feel like even though Japanese people don't speak English that much, the country, at least the big cities, feel set up for English speakers. Like signage is all in English in the subways, wherever, street signs, you know, you'll be able to navigate totally fine with all of that. And then I will say, like, maybe I didn't meet as many locals as I would have liked, because that is something I love to do on my travels, is like talk to locals. And there was a few times where I definitely did, but it is harder there because a lot of them don't speak fluent English. So, but they're so happy to like try and communicate with hands and like Google Translate. I mean, I had a whole conversation with this girl going back and forth on Google Translate, and we were cracking up, laughing together. Like, they're all so friendly. So even if you can't understand each other with words, like, I don't know, it was just a reminder of we all really can understand each other because we're humans. Yes. And we're all humans together.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. There was something that you posted about Raimi that Joanna has talked about. This is like, she's getting excited. She's getting worked up over there.
I've never heard anyone else talk about it. And I was like, she knows about trusted house sitters. You guys. Okay. Yeah. Like, I literally found out about it like 6 months ago. And okay. I have not even paid for the subscription yet because I have not had any availability to jump on these. But the amount of houses that I have saved all over the world, I'm like, hello, remote working friends. Hello, go watch people's pets. Are you kidding me? How is this a thing?
I know. And I feel like whenever I tell people that, they're shocked. But I did it like 4 or 5 years ago now. I stayed in a house in Italy watching two cats, and it was the best thing ever for me. I was like a broke, you know, college remote worker at the time, and it was just the best thing ever. So, and people will say, well, you have to pay to be a member. Okay, $100, like
that's cheap. It's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yes, so, it's nothing. It's such an affordable subscription. And if you love animals, I pet sit here already for people. So it's like it was made for me. And sometimes maybe you're running low on your point stockpile, but you still want to go to Italy, Spain, France. Like, I have one saved in the Yorkshire Dales and in Wales. Right. And
it's such a great way to get a more local experience too, because you're going to be maybe not in the city directly, but you can really get the taste of what it's like to be a local there, which I love.
Yeah, it's like staying at an Airbnb for free.
Exactly.
Why would you not? I know some people don't want added responsibility on what they feel is a vacation, and I totally get that. But like, if you throw me into a house with some pets, that feels like vacation to me.
Right, same. And like, especially for any like longer term stays, it's great. And another comment I've gotten when I talk about it is like, well, you have to watch the pets. Like, it's not vacation. I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's the same as if you were living at your house and you let your dog stay home while you went to the store. It's like, I'm not neglecting the animal. I'm like hanging out with it all day and night too. So, yeah.
Yes, you can still leave it alone for small amounts of time and go out and do stuff. And if you're doing cats, man, like, easy.
They want to be alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have 5 of them. Some of them do not want to be alone.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I have 2, and you're right. Like, the one is scratching on the door currently. So,
yep. Oh, I love cats. They're my thing. Yep. But yeah, I just recommend this to everybody. I think it requires a great deal of flexibility. It's not like, I have these dates available and then you pick a place to go. You have to find the place, apply, get chosen, and then you plan your trip. So it is difficult, but rewarding.
But rewarding. I know that's another thing people say is like, well, it's a stranger staying in someone's house. I'm like, there is background checks. You have to interview with them. They have to pick you to live, like stay there. The process is great. I had a great time doing it. And I honestly would like to do it again someday. So we'll see.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a great way to go somewhere where there's not a lot of hotels and like Airbnbs are super expensive. Sounds
exactly
perfect.
Dream.
What again was the name of it, Raimi? The one that you used? I don't know if there's multiple different sites that kind of do the same thing, but what was the name of the company?
It was Trusted House Sitters. But I've also heard of one and used one called Live Kindred, and that's more of like home swapping. So, you know, like The Holiday with Cameron Diaz?
Yes. Yes.
It's literally that. It's a website that lets you do that, all, you know, background check, whatever. So Kindred it's a good option. Look into that one too.
And that one comes with attractive British men with glasses.
I mean, maybe, maybe not. But if Jude Law would be there, sign me up. 10 times.
Sign me up too. Sorry, fiance.
Hey, we're planning your honeymoon. You better.
Why? I know.
I'm also planning my honeymoon right now.
Are you? So, well, I mean, I can't decide. But we're getting married in September, and he Are you serious? Ours is the 29th. It's a Sunday.
Okay, so, amazing. I'm getting married the weekend before you on the 21st.
Congratulations. I love it. It's awesome. Going to be such a good time to get married. Great, great time of year. But he will have just started a job as a police officer. He will have just finished his academy. So he will not be able to travel for a while. So sometime in 2025, we will be able to take our honeymoon. So I have so much time. That's my list is just like growing by the day.
You just let the points decide. Let the points decide. Where do you find, you know?
Well, here's the kind of person I am. I was watching The Bachelor Fantasy Suites week episode, and I like fall out of my chair because I see that the hotel that they are at is a Hyatt. It's a Dreams in Tulum, Mexico. And I was like, that's it. That's where I'm going. I looked it up and it was like 25,000 points a night right now. It's an all-inclusive. Somehow I feel like when a bunch of people from Bachelor Nation catch on and all want to go there, it's going to
by the time you want to go, maybe not, but you never know.
Maybe I should book it now. I just changed my mind too much.
Are you going, Raimi?
Yes.
Where do you want to go for yours?
Oh, I'm going to Tahiti, which is not easy to get to on points. Let me tell you, it's not easy. It's very hard.
Did you do it though?
I'm flying there in business class on points with Air France, but it was pricey.
Okay,
it was
worth it.
It was 160,000 points each one way. But I'm bougie and I need to fly business class.
Especially for your honeymoon. Your honeymoon, whatever goes. There was
an option to fly with Air Tahiti Nui using American points for only 80,000 points business class. But I didn't have any American points at the time. And so it was just like, I got to do what my points can do for me.
Absolutely.
They're also extremely pricey with points. So if I learn anything more about that, we can do another episode.
Yes, please. We'd like to hear all about that. Because, some of the better honeymoon destinations are not so hackable. But that's why you just have a honey fund and you instead of gifts, you say, everybody just donate to this, please.
That's what we're doing. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Same, same. So we at least have cash if I can't hack the whole thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. I'm so excited for you. Are you guys leaving immediately or are you taking a little break?
We're taking like a week break just because it's a good time of year to go there too. So we were like, okay, let's just go right after.
Magic. It's going to be so fun. Yay. Exciting. Okay. Let's get back on track. I'm sorry. I think I really derailed us there. It is my greatest gift. Mary Ellen is our focused one. I'm the ADHD member of this party.
Oh, yeah. I'll go off on tangents too. We'll get back.
The fun part is I am also ADHD, but I think I must be less ADHD than Joe.
You're so good at it.
I guess because I've been a teacher. You've been just sharing so many great flights that you've searched from various places and the points redemption. Where are you searching? Like, where do you start your searches for flights? And then maybe you go to the individual airlines, but what are your favorite places to start?
Yeah. Okay. I was going to mention this earlier. So have you guys heard of seats.aero?
Yes. Heard of it, but I always use points. Yeah. So I've never even tried it.
I've never tried that one. So maybe I need to
You've got to try it.
Yeah. Seats.aero is great because you can put in even general stuff. So like for you, Joanna, if you don't know where you want to go, you can just put in like USA or, you know, St. Louis to Europe and see what shows up points wise. and you can get really flexible with the dates, and they send you alerts. So if you don't see the point steel that you want, this is how I found the one to Japan, actually. I wasn't seeing the like redemption rates that I wanted. So I set an alert, like notify me whenever something under 80,000 points comes up. And it would text me, we just found this available with United. Yeah. So seats.aero is great. And then I've also used point.me, which really easily shows you, based on the credit cards that you have, what you can book. So those are my two favorites. But I got to check out points.yeah too.
It's amazing. It has this thing called the Daydream Explorer, which sounds very similar to what you were talking about. You can put – so what I often do is, if I know somewhere specific that I want to go, I put from the USA, and then you put the specific airport code. And then you can rank it by points price, by, you know, which currency you want to use or whatever. And it will search a chunk of 60 days at a time. And you can make it smaller if you want to. So it sounds like it's probably pretty similar. But oftentimes I've heard that all of the different search tools are not always showing you the same thing. So I think it's smart for people to bounce around to a few different ones and see if something's coming up that didn't come up somewhere else. So I need to check that out. I'm a creature of habit. Once I find something I like, I'm like, this is what I'm doing.
I know, same. I like love that I can get alerts, because then I don't have to meticulously check every day. Because one of the things I feel like also isn't really talked about as much in the Points and Miles community is, like, you kind of do need to have flexibility, at least if you want to get, like, upper class tickets. And I guess that's what I use my points for, because, like I said, I'm bougie and I just like it. But sometimes I don't book my flight until, like, 4 days before takeoff, because that's when – yeah, because that's when the points show up. And at this point, I've done it so many times that I know it will become available. So I will plan the whole trip and be like, worst case scenario, there will be an economy seat and I'll use my points for that. But they always open up the upper class tickets literally like 5 to 4 days before takeoff. So
are you serious?
Yeah. That's
I want to live that life. I want to live that level of like spontaneity, you know, on the edge, just willing to take a chance.
I did not believe this was a thing, but now I've done it so many times that I'm like, I know it's going to show up, so it'll be fine.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that would make me so nervous, but also so excited.
Yeah,
you have to tell us. I saw this thing on your Instagram and I was like, what is this? You went on Delta One, but you didn't use your points to go on Delta One. You were gifted that from someone with status. I was so confused. Can you explain it to us? And can you tell us what it was like?
Yeah. So Matt, who is like my best friend now, he had Delta Diamond status last year. And with Delta Diamond, you can gift someone gold status. And I basically just begged him, because he doesn't have a girlfriend or anything. So I was like, can you just give me the status? Because who else are you going to give it to? So he gave me gold status last year. And normally a person with gold status would never get bumped up to Delta One, because there would be diamond and platinum people. I think it was because the flight that I took was at a really random time on like a Tuesday, and I must have just been the next person in line, or somebody didn't show up. Like, it was pure luck, because that would never normally happen. And I was so excited and I loved it. The seat was a little uncomfortable, but everything else, the food was amazing. I think it was my favorite, like, business class experience, at least continentally.
Wow. What is the difference, like, with Delta One versus a traditional business class?
It has a little door that closes, so it's like a little suite. But other than that, it's the same. It's just a lie flat seat. You get served all the stuff, you know. But I think, you know, it just has those little suites, which not all business classes do. But yeah.
It looked so fun in the videos.
It was cool. I was like, this will never happen again, but I love this for now.
But it's amazing and it's great content.
It is going to happen again. You are young and you are so in this Points and Miles game. It is going to happen again.
Yeah. I turned 30 this year, so, you know.
You do not look anywhere close to 30, and I know I'm not really one to talk because I've been told I have a baby face.
Yeah, you guys
but both wow.
me.
Babies, team baby faces for life.
Yes.
No, I literally thought you were maybe in your young 20s. You just look so glowing and young.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. I want to transition a little bit to something kind of serious, and that is that you share very candidly about your anxiety with flying. And I think that is so relatable. So many people have this. My fiance has flown one time, and it was such a bad experience that he has not done it again. We are going to, but we are like such a road trip family because he does not like to fly. So I take a lot of trips myself on airplanes. But I would love to know what tips you share with people for conquering your flight anxiety and still being a person who goes all over the world. That's amazing.
I know. It's a lot. And I feel like it's kind of embarrassing to share sometimes because people are like, what you travel all the time. Why do you have this? And it's gotten to the point where at times I have canceled trips because of it. Like I'll get so worked up in the days before that I'm like, I don't even want to go. But recently I will say I have done, and this might help your fiance actually, I did this very specific type of therapy called brain spotting where they target experiences that you have and it kind of rewires the way that you think about them and the way that you experience them. So I also had a traumatic flight experience that I think led to, you know, my fear. And that really did help. I, even though I still get anxious, it's not nearly as bad as it was before I did that. So that's one thing that helped, like doing that specific therapy. I've also heard hypnotherapy can work wonders as well. I think it's kind of similar. But like aside from that, there's a couple things that I do like actually on the flight, because for me, the scariest part is during takeoff. Like once we get up in the air, I'm like, I'm chill. Like nothing's happening now. But one thing that I do, and I learned this from this app that is helpful for flyers called SOAR, S-O-A-R. It's an app that was developed by a pilot because he worked with people who had a fear of flying, and it has all of these tips and tricks in the app. And one of them, I'll describe this though for audio. During takeoff, I do this thing where like I do deep breathing exercises and I move my fingers up and down one at a time. So it's like thumb, pointer, middle, this, that. And it does something to the nervous system that really, really helps me anytime I start to feel panicky. So that's something like you can actually do without, you know, without therapy, without anything, but it rewires your nervous system as you're doing that. Just keep doing the each finger at a time. That really helps me.
Noise that's so cool.
Headphones, not reading the news.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's a great general life tip. Don't read the news.
Literally. So those are some of the things. I have like a whole playlist on my TikTok too of all of my like random flight fear things that help me. Because there's a lot of weird things I've done to help.
No, that's awesome. I'm going to find that and I'm going to link that in the show notes because I think that that would help a lot of people. I think that a lot of people have this fear and I think that it can hold people back from really, really amazing experiences, especially some people get really afraid to go over the ocean. And I get that. It is a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
So definitely want to share.
Without like spending money, and this is maybe corny, but it really does help, and it takes practice. It's not as easy as it sounds, but for example, if I have to fly to Hawaii in 2 weeks for a wedding, and I do not like flying over the ocean, but I'm gonna have to, right, for 5 hours. So something that also helps me is to visualize so strongly what it's going to be like when I land. Who am I gonna see? What am I gonna be wearing? Where are we going? What's it going to look like? Like, how am I going to feel? What am I going to talk to people about? Like, I get really, really specific with that and almost like make it a little dream in my head. And it's not always easy. Then the thoughts will pop up like, well, what if something's wrong with the plane? You know, but you got to like flip the switch, control, alt, delete, get rid of that thought and get back on the other pattern. It feels like a workout sometimes, but that also really helps.
Yeah. I follow a guy who, his name's Dr. Amen, for anyone who wants to look him up. He's all about brain Oh, yes. I'm so happy you know who that is. But he says this thing called killing the ants, which stands for automatic negative thoughts. And our brains are just so good at automatically being negative about things, especially things that we have true anxiety about. So I absolutely love that, because that's exactly what you're doing. You are replacing those automatic negative thoughts with positive ones and with visualization. And it is really powerful. The mind is a powerful place, guys, either direction, for good or for bad. It is powerful.
And then it'll feel more natural the more you do it. Like, I have found that on my recent flights, it's easier for me to get on that positive thought pattern because I've practiced it so many times. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you for sharing all of that.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable about that, because I think it's going to help so many people. And those were really great resources. So we will definitely link all of that in our show notes. So
yes, I definitely want people to just not be afraid. I mean, I get it. I want to tell them, like, I'm there with you. I want to cancel my trips all the time, but I go. Like, part of it is just going. So
yes,
that's the last I'll say on that. But yeah.
You've taught us all about Nomadic Matt, who you love and is great for people to follow. And I know that you work with the Points Guy some. Are there any other maybe smaller accounts on social media that we could give a shout out to that you really enjoy following in the travel space or points and miles space? Who do you like to follow?
Love. Okay. One of my favorites right now is my internet friend, Lena. She is so woe on the go, and her account
That's
is
so
smaller,
cute.
But she is hilarious. She does these like travel vlogs about how, you know, she's not that athletic, but she's going on the hike in Guatemala anyways. And it's just a really great, relatable account. And I think everyone should follow her on Instagram and TikTok. So woe on the go.
Yay!
And I'll send you guys the link. I'm trying to think of some other smaller creators that I love. Oh, Janelle on a Jet. Do you guys follow her?
No. I've not heard of her.
She's awesome. She also talks about points and miles. She's like my Delta girly, because we both love Delta. But she's great with points and miles stuff and just travel in general. She's one of my favorites. Who Travels the World? H-U Travels the World. She's also on Instagram and TikTok. She's more of like the backpacker budget style, but
love it.
Great tip for any type of traveler, because we could all use more random budget tips, and she's got
tons of them.
And she travels to a lot of lesser known destinations. Like, she's going to Pakistan this summer. She's going to like Egypt and Turkey and all of these places that not a lot of people go. So she's really interesting to follow as well. Those are some
amazing. No, these are so good. It's always fun when people suggest people that we haven't heard of before, because a lot of times someone will come on and it'll be like, oh yeah, I follow them. They're great. So I think it's really fun to help smaller creators in this space grow, and also just like a great follow. So
yeah,
excited to check them out.
Yeah,
I'm so excited to check them out, and we will link them in our show notes. So is there anything that you want to leave people with before we wrap it up?
I will say one of my like go-to travel tips, I guess, is one of the first things I do when I land somewhere new, and I kind of touched on this, but this is the budget version, is I love a free walking tour. Tip your guide always, but especially if you're solo traveling or traveling with a family, it doesn't matter. But like, a free walking tour is such a great way to get to your surroundings and set you up for the trip in such a nice way. So I always do that like on the first day. And I always tell people to do that. I don't know if they listen to me, but I love doing that. And then, I mean, I'll also just say, like we talked about, the flight anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety that can come up with travel, I think. I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much planning to do. But it's just so worth it. Like, I think it's just one of those things, you have to jump into it. You have to take the step, and then it'll catch on. It'll get addicting. Like, I feel that very strongly. So anyone listening who's like dipping their toes in, or maybe your fiance, Joanna, like,
yes,
take that flight, get on the plane. Like, it's going to be so worth it in the end, and it'll power you through it to keep doing it.
That is such good advice and so uplifting. And I think it's the perfect note to wrap up on. So We appreciate you so much for coming on today. It has been so such fun. A joy. And we would love to have you back anytime you want. If you, you know, want to come back and tell us about your honeymoon or just anything else interesting that you are up to. You are a friend of the pod now, so you are always welcome.
I love it. And if you guys are ever in California or if we're ever in the same place, we got to meet up and do something.
Absolutely. What part of California?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Maybe we'll have to take one of our little podcast retreats to California, which we have talked about doing several times.
Ooh, you should do that.
Just make it a little girl's trip.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Raimi. Everyone, go follow Raimi at Raimi Travel. And she is amazing. She's also on TikTok. Are you at the same handle at all the places?
Yes, same handle.
Okay, YouTube as well, right?
Yep. But I don't really post there, but I'm going to start.
We keep saying that as well. We haven't quite quite gotten around. It's just, you know, so many things. All right. Well, we appreciate you so much and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us and we will see you here next time.